views and commentary, but first these announcements.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Chuck Collins, speaking Tuesday, November 15th, 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, Elliott Chapel in Portland. Chuck Collins is the author of Born on Third Base, a one percenter makes the case for tackling inequality, bringing wealth home, and committing to the common good. He'll be talking about the people's movement of disadvantaged communities and communities of color's need to engage with the 1% community and the 1%'s need to step up and get involved. Again, that's Chuck Collins speaking Tuesday, November 15th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, Elliott Chapel, at 1211 Southwest Main Street here in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, November 15th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the airwaves. Getting straight to our weather for today, clouds building up and a high around 65, east wind around 5 miles per hour, and tonight 50-50 chance of rain later on, and unbelievably a low around 52, calm winds for tomorrow. Slight chance of rain and partly sunny, highs near 62. And for tomorrow night, overcast skies and low around 51. I just have this to say. It is much too warm for this time of year. It is a cloying, sticky, sweet, fever heat. It has changed everything on the ground, whether one is aware of it or not. Generally, concrete suppresses thoughts of what might be a little bit haywire in the environment, but we have not had a hard frost yet, and we always look forward to that. A great many things that we grow as winter crops require a hard frost, and day and night, it's a sticky, sweet, evil almost sense of an unnatural warmth enveloping everything and slowing, I would argue, slowing down thought processes. There are headlines from around the nation. People are still even worse than Trump's president-elect. Steve Bannon is an even worse prospect of all his. Sarah Palin would have been better than this. Anyone would have been better than this, except for perhaps was, you know, the possible exception being some kind of whatever he is, the grand spider of the Ku Klux Klan. Anything but Steve Bannon. And we can only expect that he will do exactly what he's done in the past, and he will do exactly what he says he's going to do, because the man has no education, no imagination. All he has is a lot of anger and ignorance. And that which brings us to our exceptional guest today, Diana Johnston, joins us from France. She just wrote the piece, "After the Election, Don't Panic, Think." That was, you probably came across that in Counterpunch. The quote for the day, in 2016, the fundamentally undemocratic U.S. two-party system presented the public with the two most hated candidates in history. That absolutely states it straight up. We did this too. We're responsible for this, and we must, I think, take responsibility. This is something we can't run to Canada. I'm sure the Canadians don't want us to bring our what can we call it? The virus of ignorance and lack of will and the ability to overlook money and search for instead the best possible candidate. Diana, thank you for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
Hello from Paris.
Yes.
Thank you for asking me.
Your piece in Counterpunch could not have been more on point. I want to invite you to deconstruct some of the ideas that you outline in, or you go into in depth in this article. People are panicking to a certain extent. We see that in the actions in the streets, certainly here in Portland, where people are expressing themselves in no uncertain terms. There have been there's now a debate on between Republic. There's push-pull between Republican and Democratic forces on Mayor Charlie Hales, a very weak, outgoing mayor, or what he should do to control people. But how do you go about controlling the panic, the actions? Because it's deeper than simply breaking windows. What about this panic? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, my suggestion is that people should organize for their own coherent political program, including no wars and the social justice at home and campaign intelligently for this program. I think these street demonstrations, I mean, I can understand in Portland there was demonstrations right after the election, but these ongoing elections, to my mind, are really a waste of energy, and they seem to be based too much on the identity politics and can even end up being interpreted as being protest in favor of Hillary Clinton and her fraudulent identity politics program. Because, I mean, I heard this slogan, the people united will never be divided. Well, that sounds very nice, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And especially if you're being divided, as it seems to be, between ethnic minorities and white working class, which should be brought together to fight for peace and justice and not divided by identities.
Well, that said, people feel, the feeling is that they have tried other means to make their point and have been ignored by the media. We have to say that this election was largely enacted by media. Trump made good money for all concerned there, so naturally he was front and center. The media definitely made a great deal on this election by putting Trump as a clown and look out on top of the news every day. Every news report led with Trump, and this is what happened. Can you deconstruct it? Talk a little bit about why people would be expressing themselves in the streets.
Well, I think the people who can express themselves, it's understandable. It's a sort of a emotional letting off steam. But I think you have to think that this, you've got to have a long-term political struggle. And certain things are absolutely evident. And that is that the what you should be protesting against is not the candidate who won, but the electoral system that gave you a choice between that candidate and another bad candidate. I mean, there was no candidate there that I think these people really wanted. And that's because you have a two-party dictatorship, which is run by money and the media. And that, I think this takes a long-term, really revolutionary struggle to change that system.
Well, hang on for a minute, because this is interesting, and this is part of the story. We're trying to get Lana Jack. She's at Standing Rock right now. Across the nation, these are the two threads that we are participating in some cases, and certainly watching unfold. One, of course, is that direct action, civil disobedience, what the police here and the mayor are describing as riots, then the actions taking place at Standing Rock. These are voices that will be heard. There is no question. And the Standing Rock voices, those people won't back down because they are fighting for their own land, for the place they plant their feet. And they have attracted others from around the nation who also have exactly the same agenda. With regard to the Trump election, this is something that the election itself was not really, it was not a true election. I would argue it was an auction. Trump had more money, so he was the highest bidder.
Yes, that's a good term. Yes,
that is exactly what happened. Is he was the last man standing, essentially, and I would say that many people, I wonder about this. A long-term struggle. I agree with you completely there, but there are some short-term issues and problems that aren't going away, and that we have to contend with. So
yeah. Well,
he's very dangerous. He's very dangerous right now.
Well, no, but I agree on the short term. But then the thing is, program. It's too vague. It's too general, and I think it will only hasten the kind of repression that you don't want. I think you need to define your issues and fight for them clearly. You know, being specific about what they are. Yes, you have to fight for immediate issues. Makes it clear what it is you want, not just that you're against everything, you see?
Well, yeah, this is true. One could make the argument that right in front of us we face with a Trump presidency the utter and complete destruction of our environment, the last of our environment, will be sold off. With Trump as a president, the thing is, and the reason why I would ask you, since apparently Trump was allowed, because these things, if you see a tortoise on a fence post, it didn't get there by accident. And Trump is president, yes, because he had a mob supporting him, but also because somewhere in the Democratic establishment, someone let it happen. And they had to have a reason. And the reason be to accomplish the, I think some people might argue, and I'm asking, is this a possibility accomplishes the utter, total, complete privatization of government and of every aspect of the public sector in the United States. The banking system, the environment, certainly the oil, everybody got everything that they ever wanted. How would we go about looking into that?
Well, you you know, that's the direction that the country's been going in for a long time, and it was going in that direction with Hillary Clinton. In that sense, I don't think it makes that much difference. Hillary Clinton was more sneaky about it. That's all, but it's the same. It's the same banks. It's the same interests. It's the same corporations. It's the same big money, whichever one it is. I mean, this is a false alternation between what it matters. The same powers are in power either way, and I think it's necessary to realize that and not to think that this election, this completely fake election, this auction, as you put it, is going to change anything. Basically, there have to be you're right, a lot of small struggles, but they should be coordinated with an overall vision of changing the electoral system, of changing, getting rid of the military industrial complex, and changing the investment from military to domestic. Some of the things that Bernie Sanders was suggesting, but very mildly to my mind, to be much stronger, but he was going in the right direction.
And that's all the time we have right now. I apologize. I don't want to interrupt you. I really want to hear this, and I want this to continue. Hopefully we'll get you back very, very soon, because there's a lot more here to talk about. We've been very fortunate today to have Diana Johnston joining us from France to talk about the Trump election, how we can bear to think about it. This has been El Cascadia for Tuesday, November 15th, 2016. I want to say thank you to Judy Fistel, who engineered the show for us today. Thanks also to Derek Crooks, the KBOM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.